Hi guys, welcome back to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt. I am your host and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. How are you doing? How are you living? How's everything? Please do let us know over at Instagram.com/Nevermind Polly podcast. I don't know why I did the full internet explorer thing there. Just go over to Instagram and tell me how you're feeling. Tell me how you're living. Anyway, this week on the show, we have the brilliant Field of the band Fencer on for a chat about their new record, which is self-titled, so Fencer by Fencer. It is a fantastic record. Field is a really interesting young man, and we had a great conversation about how the music industry is with him, how his career started in terms of child acting all the way through to Fencer, and just everything that they've got going on right now. It's a fantastic conversation. I want to say a massive thank you to everyone who has checked out previous episodes. The Aiming for Enrique episode went down fantastically. The Code Speaker episode went down really well as well. And thank you so much for just the love generally. It's really, really appreciated. You can listen to my conversation with Field of the band Fencer right now. Oh, before I go, this show is also sponsored by patreon.com/Nevermind Polly podcast. So patreon.com/Nevermind Polly podcast. Come throw us some pennies if you fancy. Help keeping the lights on with the show. If not, no worries. The show will always be free. See you soon. Peace. Hi guys, welcome back to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt, I'm your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. And this week we are chatting to the brilliant Fencer. I've got guitarist and frontman of the band Fencer, Field, on the line. How are we doing, sir?
Doing good, man. Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Absolutely fine. Absolutely. The pleasure is all mine. So we were talking very quickly there about time zones and whatnot. What is the time and whereabouts are we calling you from today?
It is 10 a.m. This morning. I'm in Los Angeles, California.
Amazing, amazing. See, the joys of technology when it wants to work is incredible.
So where is it where you're at?
So it is 6 o'clock UK time. So okay. I'm sort of in the weird East Anglia part. Doesn't matter. I'm about 2 hours from London, is the easiest way to put it. So we're here, obviously, to talk about Fencer's debut and brand new record, which is out in a couple of weeks. I want to ask, first and foremost, what's the mood like in camp at the moment around this release, obviously, ahead of it?
Yeah, I mean, we're excited for it to be out. These are, we've never put out, like, you know, a full project before, and this is something that's super special to us because it was just done entirely by the three of us. So we're eager to get it out. A lot of these songs have just been sitting around for, I mean, we've been working on this for now, you know, it's been done for at least the last few months, and we have been working on it for a couple of years. So we're kind of like, we're already on to what's next, right? We're working on new stuff and things like that. But it's starting to feel more real now, doing some of these interviews and having, now that like release copies are out and stuff, I did one the other day, and a girl was like talking about her experience listening through the album. And I was just like, that's weird. That's weird that other people are now having like a front to back listening experience and having thoughts and stuff like that. So that's exciting. And I don't know. Yeah, but we just wanted to get out and just get on with it already.
Absolutely. That's the thing as well. Like, especially when you're creating something, like an album, it's kind of like from front to back, it's your baby, you know. You've nurtured it from the very beginning all the way to its, you know, initial release date, which is kind of like in a weird kind of way, like birthing an album, you know. It's releasing it into the world and giving it to everybody, and then it's kind of no longer yours, and you don't really have control over it in that respect, and it kind of goes like that. So I've obviously been sent a copy of the album, and it's fucking brilliant. I'm just going to throw it out there now.
Oh, thank you. It's
absolutely brilliant. It's really, really good. So a lot of people will know you from sort of acting roles as well, because you were obviously a child actor and things. So what was the kind of the thought process in moving into music, and how did you kind of get into music? What was your formative memories of growing up with music and things?
Yeah, so I mean, I started acting when I was six, and I did it for about a decade. And I loved it. It was like my entire life, right? That's all I knew. It was a very strange childhood of just going to auditions constantly. I went on something like over 800, and that was before any of them were on tape. So it was all like that was it for me and my mom. And as you grow, you change as a person, you develop new interests, things about you shift. And I found myself just kind of getting a little burnt out on it. And when I was in high school, I wanted to just kind of try some different things. So I took a break. I was interested in film. I wanted to do like directing and writing and stuff for a while. Music was definitely not the forefront of my mind. My dad, the very cliche thing, growing up, my dad always played me a bunch of music and and that did get me into some stuff. And I think when I was around like 11 or 12, I started discovering some of my own bands, Sum 41, that pop punk band. That was, dude, they were my life for years. So I was really into music in that aspect. And I've always been singing. I did a lot of musical theater when I was younger. So I really like that kind of stuff. I remember like even in elementary school, I had this tape recorder and I would like record song ideas or vocal melodies into it. But it was like it's funny looking back at that now, but at the time it was just like a whatever thing. So I started playing bass maybe around high school time, just casually. Anyways, after all of that, I finished high school and I had no idea what I wanted to do. Because I didn't want to do any directing anymore and stuff like that. So I started a band with my friend, just me playing bass and him playing drums, and I like ran it through like an octave pedal or something. And I ended up writing a song called Junebug, which is from our Fencer catalog, and a couple people know. And I don't know. I think people around me heard that and were very kind of motivating of, wow, hey, you should consider doing this. And I didn't really know anyone, so I was kind of down, but I also just knew absolutely nothing. So I went on some band finder website and found this pop punk band where I joined as the bass player. And of course, Cameron, our drummer, was the drummer in that band. And that was kind of the start of this whole crazy journey for the last, 6 or 7 years.
Amazing stuff. And that's the thing. You come across very, very instantly as a very creative person. You since, like you say, from a childhood going in into one arts industry into another, it just makes perfect sense. Like you say, you've just got this creativity. So it's not so much a going backwards, going forward. It's just a step to the left or step to the right. It's just, I'm going to do this now. And that's totally cool. I love that.
Definitely.
So obviously you said that this album is pretty much self-produced by you guys. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's entirely self-produced by the three of
Amazing
us.
stuff, amazing stuff. So that takes a lot of skill to be able to do that as well, and a lot of self-control, I think, because this
Yes.
album is not self-indulgent in any way, shape, or form. It really does pack the punches in the best possible way. So how did you find that kind of process of self-producing?
It was great. I mean, we couldn't have done this without Cameron for sure. When we had recorded our EP in 2019, Josh Katz from Bad Flower, he produced it. And he just self-produced a lot of his stuff at the time too. So we, especially Cameron, really was like kind of, it was eye-opening to him, of how the process went. We just did it like in his house. And it was a really cool idea of self-production. And Cameron has gotten obsessed with it and learned how to kind of engineer and stuff over the last few years. So I think, gosh, in late 2019, we recorded an entire album, like 12 tracks or something. And we were listening to it back like before it was mixed fully. And we were like, this isn't good. So we deleted it. And we started over during COVID, and I don't know. I don't think we were trying to do an album. I think we were just trying to do either a couple songs or another EP or something. But the process we kind of came up with at our little studio with ourselves producing ended up working really well. And we have this great guy named Henry Lunetta who mixed the album, and he really was able to pull some incredible sounds out of these just garbage recordings we would send him. And so it was cool though. I mean, it was really intimate. I'm the lead singer and the front man. I like having control sometimes. The guys hate it, but I like being able to just be there during every instrument being tracked and like having thoughts, and we're all throwing out ideas, and it's such a collaborative process for all of it. And I don't know, I think it made it very much kind of representative of what we are as a band. It's very much a band. There's a lot of bands that have like one person who's kind of like the main person, and of course, yeah, I'm like the singer, but it's always been a band, and it's always the idea is to keep it a band. The three of us, we're all very involved with the vast majority of the decisions we make. So
absolutely, that makes perfect sense. And like you say, being able to be a part of it in every sense of the word. So like you say, I've just got kind of, as you were talking there, sort of a vision of you in the studio and the drummer's like hitting the drum. It's like, no, not quite like that, like this. Because yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? And it's just like, please just let me do my thing.
It's more so Scott sitting there trying to play his bass lines and Cameron and I both hovering over him going, no, Scott, can you try this? No, can you try this? And he's like, God damn it, just let me play.
I love that. So there was something that I wanted to talk about, which I think is super interesting, and it kind of mirrors the album really well. And that's I want you to kind of talk, if you can, talk about your condition with synesthesia. Have I got that correct?
Synesthesia. Yeah.
If you can, because it's, well, yeah, take it away. How does that affect your life and your art, basically? Because I think it's
super interesting. So synesthesia is this idea of I guess associating letters and words with colors. I don't know, I've always done that. I remember doing that even like in kindergarten when I was learning the alphabet and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's just always been a thing. It really doesn't impact my life very much. It's just a super kind of like passive thing that happens. But when we were starting Fencer, we kind of liked the idea of having some aesthetic theme or a color scheme or something. And we were trying to figure out what that is, Cameron and I. And the first batch of songs we had written, they were blue. I don't know why. Yeah. They felt blue. I know Battery Pack off our first EP was one of them. June Bug, which had already been done. Joseph Courtney, we had just done, which actually ended up on this record many years later. It was all blue. And so we decided to go with that. And then it's just gotten completely over the top and absolutely ridiculous since then. Of now, we only wear blue. Most of my closet and things I own are blue. It's like all I think about when looking for anything in life. It's like a life color I've adopted. All our lighting is blue. Our studio is just drenched in saturated blue lighting that we can barely see anything. It's so blue. We only play with blue lights. All our music videos, everything's blue. And we're writing a song and it doesn't feel blue, we'll shelve it. How is this affecting our music? I don't know. But it's definitely doing something. It's absolutely doing something. And at this point, it's completely integral to the creative process of what we do. So we're just going to keep going over the top with it. I think it's fun. And it's what the band is. It's what Fencer is. It's what you think of. We also figured out a couple years ago that each of us are the three different water signs. I'm a Cameron, Scott's a Pisces, and they say I'm a Cameron. Oh my God, I totally did. I'm a Cancer. That's really funny. I'm a Cancer, Scott's a Pisces, and Cameron's a Scorpio. And of course, water has the blue association, and it's all emotional like the band. So just a weird kind of meant to be thing.
Absolutely. And the first thing that I kind of took when I was watching the music videos and kind of getting a feel for the band was like, so in the same way that Weezer do like the green album, the red album, the blue album, I thought, oh, that's sure. Kind of cool. And then like, I started reading more into it and I was like, oh, no, it goes deeper than that. It's like this whole thing. And like, I was like, oh, okay, that's really like really cool and kind of bizarre, but amazing. So I really wanted to get that in there. That's really cool. You guys have been like touring for a hot minute, and by a hot minute, I mean you've been touring a lot. Like, to be honest, with the likes of, with Bad Flower, the Rex, Dead Poets Society, people like that. How have the shows been, and how do you kind of get into that headspace before you just about hit the stage?
Yeah, they were great. I mean, it's been a second now because COVID slowed everything down. So we're hoping to get back out there this year to promote the record. But it's really cool. Touring is a great, great little experience. I love not knowing where I am and not knowing what time it is and always feeling like you're a little bit behind. You're constantly meeting new people. It's this very intense, stressful lifestyle that just doesn't feel real. Doesn't feel like real life. And it's fun. It's fun. It's a really unique thing. It's great. I mean, I love the playing shows. It's the same as ever. It's just nice to be able to play so many nights consecutively. And it's awesome to be able to, you know, just the whole process of just drive. Even the driving is fun. I mean, we lived in our minivan, the three of us sleeping in it every night for like a month and a half. And it was awesome. It was awesome. Like, it was miserable. It beat the hell out of us, but it was great. I don't know. I'm a big fan of touring. There's not much I do to get in like a right headspace or anything. It's just playing a lot of shows. And I mean, it just kind of naturally happens with the whole experience of getting to the shows. You're just kind of in that mindset.
Absolutely. And that's a really cool thing. Obviously, you've been in the band for a long time and been around just the kind of entertainment industry. Let's call it that as a big overarching brand. Have you ever met any of your heroes whilst on the tour / on the road and things like that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's very funny because Josh from Bad Flower at one time was definitely like a huge hero of mine. And I didn't even meet him through touring. I just was a fan of his band that had like 5,000 followers in LA. Sure. And I ran into him at a Starbucks in Little Tokyo at like midnight on a Monday or something. It was amazing. Ridiculous. And so that was a cool moment. I'm trying to think. I mean, this is going to sound super like annoying or pretentious, but like I did the child acting thing, and so I was around so many like TV celebrities who at the time, or movie celebrities who at the time I would have really been like, oh my god, that's amazing. But since I was just like at events all the time and like premieres and stuff, it just really kind of, I don't know, it got old. So nowadays it's kind of like, I mean, it's cool to meet people, definitely, but I don't know. I don't particularly get anything out of just like seeing someone, oh, hi, I'm nice to meet you or something like that. I'm more so like, cool, is this person going to be able to open any doors for us? No. All right. I don't really care then.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That makes perfect sense. So with Fencer being a, you know, a really, really good rock band, and that is very, very basic way of putting it. Look, it's just a really fucking solid rock band with some solid rock and tunes.
We try to be.
If you had to pick a 3-band bill, including yourselves, who would you pick? You can pick any active band you like.
I've been asked this before, and I always struggle with it because I wouldn't want to pick bigger bands to go before us. That wouldn't make sense.
This is the thing, it's your dream lineup. So we've had people who have been like smaller bands and they've gone, yeah, fuck it, Metallica can open for us. They'll bring everybody in, then we'll just shut the door and lock it. Like, do you know what I mean?
That's the thing. No, I just feel it is my dream lineup, but I feel like that never needs to happen. Like, for sure. I never need these huge bands right now to, oh, I can't wait, or I would love if they would open for us, or in my dream lineup. Like, that's a disservice to them, and that doesn't make sense for our journey and our timeline.
For sure.
I hope when we're, this is so like a non-answer to the question, but I hope when we have enough going on where we can do like a solid headline, maybe even bigger, when we're able to really, you know, do everything ourselves and have whoever we want with us. Mm-hmm. I would love it to be whatever band is like us right now at that point, mm-hmm. right? Whatever small band we find that we can open up those doors for, like Bad Flower did for us, like we can do for other people, just a band that we think is awesome that hasn't gotten that bit of luck yet, which at the moment is us. So so that's kind of the idea. I don't know, that's definitely not as interesting of an answer, but I can't think of any bands off the top of my head that I feel like would make sense doing that.
You know what, that's the authentic answer though, because everyone could go, oh, here are my two favorite bands and us, like, but the authentic way of doing it is saying, well, actually, because that's the thing, that's you are an authentic person saying, well, actually, people are opening doors for us, therefore when we get to that position we want to open doors for other people, and that's how everybody wins in this game, so to speak. So that's perfectly fair, I feel. So I have a final couple of questions for you, and one of which, so you are part of my 2023 set of bands I'm interviewing this year, and I've added this question in, so this is completely satire, by the way. When I'm rich and famous and I have a massive podcast empire and I can run my own festival, I'm going to invite every band who's ever been on the podcast to come back and play, right? And with that, I'm asking every band to add something to the rider. So every band will have something on their rider. So for example, like, we've got sushi on there, wine, bean bags. I think it was an Xbox. There were some narcotics. I'm not saying who that was. But you know what I mean? So what would you add to your ultimate rider?
Oh, well, this is really funny, because when we did, when we were touring more, we had a rider, a hospitality rider that we would send out everywhere, but we were the opening of three bands. So they didn't care at all about us, but we wanted to make a rider anyways to see what would happen. And Cameron, his one request on the rider was a cookies and cream Hershey's bar.
Oh, amazing.
And it never happened. Really? They did everything else,
yeah,
but never the Hershey's, which is messed up. So I am going to, on his behalf, request a single cookies and cream Hershey's bar.
You know what? That is probably the least, like, prima donna thing to ask for. So that's 100% getting in. 100% getting
and we in. Never get it. Someone give it to us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I have one final question for you, Phil, and thank you so much for giving your time this morning, as I know it's very early for you over there. And that is simply, what is the best thing about being in Fencer / being a musician in a band?
Gosh, I think it's a really bonding experience. I think it's really stressful. I think it's really difficult. But we love the band. All three of us really love what we make. We really, you know, have this connection to this project we've created, and we really believe in it. And we have people all around us who really believe in it. And that feels good. That feels good to know that you're doing something with real potential, maybe. Mm-hmm. Even if we haven't had like our big break yet or something, we feel really strongly about this. And whenever I have my doubts, which is just constantly, it's really nice to get in the studio with the guys, get playing, and just have us read each other's minds. We've gotten to this point now where we know what the band is. We know what it, like, when we're creating new things, we know what needs to be created. And it sometimes goes even without communication of like, oh, Cameron knew that I knew that this should happen here, or that we should make this decision, or whatever it is. And that's really nice, having the three of us be super in sync on just this made up little project we came up with. That's all just like make-believe. So it's fun.
I love that. And sort of finally, just to see the podcast off, is there anything you'd like to say to the listeners of the podcast, fans at home, people on YouTube, anything you'd like to sort of end the show on?
Definitely. Just that our album, it's out February 3rd. Please pre-save it now, you can, or if not, just come listen to it. We got a couple more videos coming. And yeah, check us out. We are at Fencer Band everywhere. That's our handle on like literally every social. So, you know, check out what's going on. We're throwing a big release show in LA on February 3rd, if you're around. So
amazing stuff. We do have a fair percentage of American listeners, and I know America's a big state, but get down to LA if you can, because
sure,
it would be fucking sick. Field, thank you so much for your time. Field of Fencer.
No problem. Too many. Thank you very much. Not the first time. Don't worry, it happens.
Thank you for your time. And hopefully, if you make it over to the UK and things, and I see you on the road, I'll buy you a beverage of your choice as a thank you for coming on the show.
Sounds good, man. Can't wait for it.
Awesome. See you soon. All the best.
See ya.
Peace.